Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 721. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is... I'm not sure where he is. I'm guessing he's downstairs still. It's late. It's late on a Saturday. Well, not late. It's Saturday night-ish, 5:41 p.m. I don't normally... It's late for me to when I would generally record... Because I worked 6 days this week. Haven't done that in quite a while. I had to work Saturday. I had to work this morning. So, getting around to it late. I did have a second round of caffeine to get me through it, though. So, hopefully I don't start dozing off mid-sentence or thought, what have you. There's a good possibility I will, though. But caffeine is well in my bloodstream at this point, so I've got a little bit of a buzz, but it wasn't like a lot of caffeine, so probably won't make up for the fact that I haven't had a whole lot of sleep this week. It was really hot at work. Except the last 2 days it cooled off quite a bit the last 2 days, but the rest of the week, man, it was hot as fuck at work. And of course I weld at work, so I mean it can be rough. This is the time of the year that I really regret all of my life decisions that led me here. But hey, we made a lot of money this week. It was a good week, bonus wise. We hit our numbers and have a nice paycheck with the overtime and whatnot next week. So, you know, hopefully I won't be quite as tired. As of right now, we are not scheduled to work next week, Saturday. That can always change. They have until the Thursday before that Saturday to be able to schedule it. So it's possible I might have to work Saturday next week. I'm hoping not. I would enjoy another weekend off, even though this is the first weekend I've had to work a Saturday in quite a while. But, you know, I'm getting old, man. Getting old. Overtime in the heat, it's rough. Rough stuff. Real rough. And I was trying to finish painting, to do the touch-ups on my hexagon pattern on the wall above my kitchen cabinets. The pattern from the Overlook Hotel, The Shining. And I didn't finish doing all the touch-ups. I got pretty far on it. But there was the issue, the more I touched up, the more I kind of fucked up other areas. And also the more I got up there to look and to do touch-ups, started realizing the more areas that were fucked up that I didn't really notice so much before. And like, son of a bitch. But the idea is, you know I'm not going to get it all perfect. I got to get that out of my head. It will never be, I will never get that fucking shit perfect. The lines themselves are not exact. They're not, cause the stencil I used, the width of the lines varied. And then I tried to correct when I was doing the red initially and drawing the pattern on the wall. After I'd done the red, I guess, and I had the pattern drawn all over the wall, I used painter's tape that was the width that I wanted the lines to be, and I tried to adjust the design with that and get it more even, but it's still, there's still a lot of areas that I don't think people are really going to notice this kind of shit, that the shapes are a little fucking weird, the lines aren't all perfect. And of course, when I stretch the stencil over the walls in certain areas, the lines got a little fucked up around the corners, and the widths and shit got a little askewed, shall we say. And yeah, I don't think you'd notice just looking at it, you know, glancing at the wall. But if you stare at it for hours on end, like I've had to do while painting it, you'd be like, God damn it, there's a lot of shit up here that's just not right. But I'm trying to get it to a point where I can just, you know, look at it from below and just be good with it. That, you know, I'm not always going to have a light strapped to my head and be on a ladder, like, with my head right up in the pattern. So, keeping that in mind, I'd like to be able to just, like, you know, stand on the normal floor without being raised up and be like, you know what? I'm not really seeing any real problems up here. Or at least I really have to stare at it to be like, oh yeah, that line's fucked up. I got too much black bleeding off in that area or whatever, you know. All else fails, I guess I could hang something over some area, the real, you know, troublesome areas. I'd be like, oh, put like a little picture or something over that. And, you know, I was, again, thinking in the past, I mentioned it several times, I had thought about hanging an axe up there. And that could, you know, hide some of real trouble areas. I don't think I'm going to hang anything up there, though. I did so much work painting it, I don't think I want to cover any of it up. But, yeah, I've got to get up there. Hopefully I have enough energy after doing this podcast that I'll be able to get up there and do a little bit more and really try to just finish doing touch-ups. I don't think I need to do a whole lot more touch-ups. I need to get up there with the orange because when I was doing touch-ups in the black, I had some little bleed off in some areas, and I need to fix that up. And there's not a whole lot of the orange I need to do. But then once I get the stuff on the wall done, I need to go back over with the roller, which I don't think will be too bad. It should be fairly easy. I might cover the wall with a little bit of painter's tape at the top. Then again, I don't know. That might take some time. But I need to take a roller to the ceiling and fix because when I was painting the wall, I got a lot of marks on the ceiling and hitting my head on there and like the headlamp and what have you. It looks a little rough up there on the ceiling, so I just need to do a little once over with a roller and some paint. And once I do that, I think I should be done with that wall, the walls, plural, in the kitchen there. So I can hopefully move on with my life somewhat, as there's some sirens going on. I don't know what's going on there. Just pretty sure they're not coming here. Pretty sure. Not confident. Or at least not in this unit of the townhouses or the two next to me, because I still don't have neighbors in either side of me, which has been kind of nice. I haven't gotten a whole lot of time to really take advantage of that, but I have played guitar a little bit with an amp, not using headphones. I'd like to do that a little bit more. Hopefully I have another couple weeks maybe without neighbors on both sides and maybe a little bit of free time. We shall see, though. We shall see. Hopefully I can hurry up and finish this painting stuff. I don't think I'm going to, you know, I'm hoping to get it, you know, possibly done tonight. And then maybe tomorrow I can finally get to working on hanging up the smaller movie posters that light up in my dining room, because I still haven't done that. I still haven't changed my oil yet either in my car. So, you know, there's just a lot of shit to do still. I have been watching a little bit of stuff on the projector, though. What little bit of time I've had at home, I've got the whole series now on Blu-ray of Ash versus Evil Dead, and I've been going back through and watching all of that. I'm in the second season now. I'm getting pretty close to finishing the second season. There's only three seasons. Great show, though. Love the show. I mean, if you're a fan of Evil Dead, the Bruce Campbell era Evil Dead, with, of course, Evil Dead 1, 2, and Army of Darkness, if you know, you love those and you haven't seen the series, man, check that shit out. And I almost feel like a spoiler alert. But, you know, the series is like 10 years old now at this point. I don't feel like I Lee Majors plays his father in the show. I think he comes in season two. And that is, he played the $6 million man on TV. And they do make some jokes about that, kind of reference it in the show. And the best part about Lee Majors being in there is his death. I don't want to get more involved in that, but he dies in the series. Spoiler. But holy shit. I hadn't watched that, I guess, in a couple of years, maybe. And let's just say his death hits hard. Watching this series, too, makes me want to go back and play the Evil Dead game, which I do enjoy. It's a survival... Well, I don't know if you consider that survival horror. It's like the Friday the 13th game and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. It's much like those. And it's a fun game. I just love being able to play as Bruce Campbell, you know, and the variations of him. And, but the game is stopped receiving support from the developers quite a long time ago now at this point. And I believe that the servers are still up, but there's not that many people playing the game at the moment. So it can be hard to get a game going. And, I just love the music and whatnot. And just, you know, I mean, you can play as Lucy Lawless. I still haven't played as all of the characters. What sucked is I started playing it after it was already a little old, and there just wasn't as many people playing it. But, I've got that music just stuck in my head from it. And, you know, I love me some Lucy Lawless and Evil Dead, and Bruce Campbell, all that goodness. I did, you know, recently find out, which the news apparently has been out there for quite some time, I think maybe a couple of years, but there is an Evil Dead animated series that Bruce Campbell said he's very willing to voice Ash in it. He's no longer wanting to do any live action Ash, you know, because he's pushing 70. His birthday is coming up, and I think he's going to be like 68. 67 or 68, something like that. And, you know, he is battling cancer at the moment. So, I mean, be a little hard for him to go through the ringer playing Ash. I mean, that is a demanding role. Well, I think just being in a Sam Raimi film in general is demanding. Well, at least one of his horror movies. Maybe, I mean, Spider-Man probably had its own demands, but they weren't... you know, spraying people down with gallons, you know, 100 gallons of blood that I can recall in the Tobey Maguire era Spider-Man. I don't remember that being a thing. But all of the Evil Dead films, of course, you know, that's a big staple of Mr. Raimi, is just dousing people with an insane amount of blood. And of course, the Ash versus Evil Dead show has got a lot of that. And it's got to be rough to film that. I don't think I would want to be like almost 70 and just like choking on fake blood. seems a little intense, but I am definitely, you know, I'm excited to see this animated series and to have Ash in it. I know, of course, there's two new Evil Dead movies coming out. The Evil Dead Burn is coming out, I want to say July 10th, what I saw earlier. I was watching the trailer, and I think I saw somewhere that it said July 10th. But, of course, there's an Evil Dead Wraith coming out, I think, in a year or two. I don't know if they wrapped up filming on that one yet, but it was... definitely recent. Yeah, July 10th is when Evil Dead Burn comes out. And then, Evil Dead Wraith. I don't think it has an official release date. They're still making that one. But it's crazy to me. You know, I grew up with the Evil Dead movies. And... there's a love for... to me, Evil Dead is just not quite the same without Ash. You know, I wouldn't want anybody else to play him, though. I'm glad that the newer films just don't have Ash or a character like Ash. I guess you'd consider it reboot, the Evil Dead 2013, which I've enjoyed all the Evil Dead movies, even the newer ones. I like the darker horror, you know, but, I mean, it's weird. Like, it seems like, you know, they should still have, I don't know. I kind of go back and forth on whether or not they should add more humor back into the Evil Dead movies and go more to a callback to the earlier films. But I like the, you know, straight just horror. It doesn't necessarily have to be horror comedy, which the first Evil Dead didn't have that much comedy to it. The, you know, which is a classic film. And, I didn't see that one until actually after seeing Evil Dead 2. And I do recall being a little bitch about, I've said this before, my friends loving Evil Dead 2, like, oh, this is just, I wanted it more like straight horror at the time. I was like, there's too much comedy. Even though, like, I grew up watching Three Stooges every Saturday night. I would watch Three Stooges marathons with my family and on Channel 11. And yeah, every Saturday we'd watch Saturday Live, and then I don't recall sleeping on Saturday nights as a kid. That wasn't a thing. I didn't sleep much at all, at least on the weekends. And, yeah, we would watch Three Stooges marathons that seemed to go on for hours, like every Saturday. And so I loved that humor. And, of course, Sam Raimi and Mr. Bruce Campbell, and I would imagine pretty much everybody involved in making those early Evil Dead films were fans of the Three Stooges. Which there are, you know, callbacks to the Stooges in many of the Evil Dead, at least the earlier stuff. And, of course, the series Ash vs. Evil Dead has many nods to the Stooges. And they have Shemp Cola is one thing. And I believe there's like a Shemp beer. But being Shemp as a nod to Shemp Howard. One of the Three Stooges. And, which was never my go-to, but that is apparently, like, Bruce Campbell's favorite Stooges, Shemp. You know, I was a curly man. I was, my dad did the curly voice. Which, I need to go back and watch some old Stooges. I know that, I think on Amazon Prime, they've got several ways to watch it. One of my favorites, though, which I think they did like two or three episodes where it was with the Curly era, the original Curly, not Joe Curly, where they're, of course, making fun of Hitler. That stuff's pretty great, which, you know, they were doing this at the time of, you know, Hitler. This was groundbreaking shit. But the Three Stooges, man, they, of course, in Evil Dead 2, put in a lot of shit referencing, like, the Stooges and, man, I have so much respect for Bruce Campbell just for the scenes leading up to him cutting his hand off where he's fighting himself and, just doing, like, pratfalls and stuff and just fucking... just insane stuff, man. Insane shit. But yeah, he's quite good at the physical comedy, that Mr. Bruce Campbell. And they go all, I mean, there's a lot of it too, where Evil Dead 2 is a horror comedy, I would say. You know, the first one is more of like a straight horror, not so much any real comedy. Maybe a little bit in the first Evil Dead, which, again, I saw the Evil Dead 2 first and then watched Evil Dead 1. I was like, holy shit, oh, this one's more... which my initial thought was like, ooh, I think I like the first one better. But then as time going on, like, am I fuck? Like, that's crazy. Evil Dead 2 is clearly better. He chops his hand off and gets a chainsaw fucking hand. Like, this is, why would I ever think differently than that? That scene is just fucking epic when he's like fighting his hand because the demons have like infected his hand and then like just ends up cutting it off. Pretty great. And just all the Evil Dead movies, well, they have the great montages. I love a good montage, you know? And when he first slaps on that chainsaw onto his hand and goes through that montage. I feel like montages are really important in horror movies in general too, because one of my other favorite montage moments in a movie has got to be A Nightmare on Elm Street. The OG, the original, when you get Freddy making the glove, you don't see his face, you just see this dirty-ass hand with a razor blade cutting up the glove. And then welding on the knives to the copper pipes, and just fantastic that you see him in the boiler room. Oh, that's a great fucking montage. Montage, which there's that song from Matt Stone, Trey Parker, the South Park creators, of course, their movie Team America World Police. They have a song about montages. Anyway. Yeah, Stooges, though. We used to watch the Stooges a lot. I was just wondering. I was looking at their IMDb page. I was trying to remember how many fucking Stooges there actually were. And, I know it's on film. As I guess there's at least on, they started out vaudeville. So, I want to say initially off the top of my head without there's a lot of shit on their, Wikipedia page. So a lot to go through. I want to say that, Shemp had, yeah, looking at their Wikipedia, at least Shemp was on at least the films before Curly, and then came back after Curly had gotten sick, if I remember correctly, the original Curly. And then there was, so it was Mo and Larry were there for the whole run, at least for the film. And then then you get Shemp started as the third Stooge, goes to Curly, then back to Shemp. And then you get Joe, and then there's Curly Joe, which I don't know why they had to name him Curly Joe. Which the Curly, you know, era is the ones that I watched the most, and there was classic stuff with the Curly stuff. Ted Healy was the guy, I believe, that he's the one that started, I guess, or one of the guys that started the vaudeville stuff. He wasn't, I don't think he was on the film versions at all. Ted Healy and the Stooges saying from 1922 to 1934. Three Stooges began in 1922 as part of a raucous vaudeville act called Ted Healy and his Stooges. The actor was also known as Ted Healy and his Southern Gentlemen and Ted Healy and his Racketeers. Mo Howard joined Healy's act in 1922, and his brother Shemp Howard came aboard a few months later after several shifts and changes in the Stooges' membership. Violinist comedian Larry Fine also joined the group sometime between 1925 and 1928. In the act, lead comedian Healy would attempt to sing or tell jokes while his noisy assistants would keep interrupting him, causing Healy to retaliate with verbal and physical abuse. Yeah, there's, oh, man, that stuff brings me back, though. I remember watching that shit a lot. As I feel like I need to, you know, get back more into the, involved into looking up, you know, the old Stooges bits, refresh my memory on all the old Stooges stuff, and maybe get a good healthy dosage of Mr. Shemp, because you know, I plan on hopefully meeting Bruce Campbell on Halloween night in October, when he screens his movie Ernie and Emma at the Alamo Draft House in St. Louis, which, as far as I'm aware, they still don't have tickets on sale for that yet. I don't think they will sell tickets for that until like 2 to 3 months in advance. I'm thinking I got a little bit of time before I can. Maybe I should just call them, get an idea. Because man, I really want to make that happen. But knowing that the man himself is a huge fan of the Stooges, I feel like I should go ahead and get a refresher on the Stooges. But I got a little bit of time before now and then. I'm definitely going through and watching the Bruce Campbell work. I watched not too long ago the Bubba Hotep, where he of course plays Elvis Presley in a nursing home, and JFK is also in the nursing home, both not dead. Classic movie there, where they're fighting a mummy in a nursing home. Good shit. As Agent Fox Mulder came in to say hi, he's no longer hiding out downstairs. He's like, I hear him talking up there. He's got to do his part to get in a word or two, a meow or two. What's up, buddy? What are you doing, buddy? Are you going to shut up now that I'm trying to get you to talk? All right, man. Well, fine. Here's a bit on the Wikipedia that talks about the Nazi stuff, where they're making fun of the Nazis and the Stooges. I definitely need to go back and watch those. I know that was the Curly era. With the onset of World War II, the Stooges released several entries that poked fun at the rising Axis powers. You Nazi Spy in 1940, so this is already into World War II at this point. And its sequel, I'll Never Heil Again in 1941, lampooned Hitler and the Nazis at a time when America was still neutral. Moe's cast as Moe Hailstone, an Adolf Hitler-like character, with Curly playing a Hermann Göring character replete with medals and a Larry Joseph Goebbels-type propaganda minister. Moe, Larry, and director Jules White considered You Nazi Spy their best film, yet these efforts indulged in a deliberately formless, non-sequitur style of verbal humor that was not the Stooges' forte, according to Okuda and Watts. That's my favorite stuff. That's my jam, though. That's my jam, is that stuff making fun of the this fox biting me. Bastard. Come here, you. Come here. You're going to be a little shit. Come here. Just get in my lap, fucker. Calm down, sir. I don't think he drew any blood, but it'll rough me up a little bit there. Now he's going to rub up against the mic. That's what I get for putting him on the desk. But yeah, Stooges, got to get up on that. I started reading the Bruce Campbell book, his first book. He's written a few of them now. But If Chins Could Kill, didn't get very far in it, as I had, again, been pretty knocked out, still trying to paint. And he did give me a little good on the leg. He bit me. I feel like a battered spouse. Always got to attack me. As he's been stressed out that, you know, I've been gone a lot. I was at work 6 days this week, and he was not happy about that. And he's like, dude, you were gone forever. Now you're just going to talk into a microphone for an hour? You considerate prick. But I have taken many naps with him, and when I should have was trying to paint, but I ended up, the heat just made me so tired that after eating dinner, I would just pass out on the couch for way longer than I meant to, and sleep through the alarms that I set, and felt very unproductive. The caffeine is still working currently, though, so I'm about halfway through the podcast, hoping that that will carry me on through the second half here, and that I will be able to have some energy to finish doing some touch-ups again. I'm hoping I can finish that tonight. I don't know, though. I don't know. We'll see. It'd really be nice to just, like, get my kitchen cleaned up to where I can fucking use it again. Like a normal kitchen. Really bugs me to still have it, like, paint cans and shit everywhere. The last 4 months, which actually more than 4 months, I've had the paint sitting there for more. Well, no, when I was done painting the walls, just the straight colors, I think I did put the paint away for a little while in the garage. I was gonna say I had them laying out. I had 1 gallon of paint sitting on the countertop. I had the orange still sitting out there, but the rest of them I had out in the garage. But currently, like the white, the red, or white, well, the primer, which is white, primer, the orange, the red, and the black are all sitting on my countertops in the kitchen right now, along with other various painting supplies. Strewn about. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look great. Gotta really get that going. A friend from work, my buddy Rob, he was wanting me to go to Evil Dead 2 at the, I want to say, Cinema One Plus here in Washington, the movie theater in Washington. But I can't do that. I'm not going to have time tomorrow. I'd like to go see it. I mean, I love The Evil Dead, and I did just watch it like a couple weeks ago on my projector, which I feel like is, you know, a lot like going to the theater. Though, honestly, the last few times I've gone to the theater, I'm really gone, like, man, I really realize, like, my surround sound just doesn't have that good. The picture on my wall is pretty great, but my sound system kind of lacks. I did go cheap on the cheaper side with the surround sound. I mean, the projector was fucking expensive. I think it was $2,400 when I bought it. It was, of course, the ultra short throw projector, the X Jimmy, which I haven't looked at. I'm curious. I think the Aura 2 is that one. I'm curious if what it costs now, because at the time it was like right when the tariffs X Jimmy. I want to say it was Aura, isn't it? Aura 2. Is that? No, that's not the one. Or yeah, it is. Oh, shit, it's even, I think it's way cheaper than when I got it. Maybe. Maybe not. The one I got. Yeah, it's $1,900. But like, because, you know, the tariffs, I guess, have gone away, or a lot of them have gone away because they deemed they were illegal. But there was already some tariffs going through when I got it. Well, I imagine they probably have newer models as well. Which, yeah, you can get the one I've got, the X Jimmy Aura Series UST, which is ultra short throw laser projector, for $1,900. They do have, it looks like, newer models that are a bit more expensive, like the Aura series. Well, that's like the same shit. Why is that? I don't know why that one's. I recommend it's a pretty awesome. I would imagine now that there's, you know, probably even more like better ultra short throw projectors out there. That thing is pretty amazing, though. Now the surround sound, I spent less than $200. It was like maybe $150 on the surround sound. But, you know, it's okay. It does the job. I hear the stuff. It does have the Dolby Atmos, so you know, I can hear the sounds panning from left to right and what have you, and kind of, you know, the sound surrounds me. But they're not the greatest speakers. Sometimes it seems like they kind of cut out at times and shit. That being said, I don't have any kind of money to drop on a surround sound deal right now. Definitely, that is not high up on the priorities list. But that was definitely just, it just never ends. You know, I was like, ooh, I need to upgrade this. After you upgrade another thing, like, oh, let's do it again. Let's fucking upgrade again. Upgrade. And, yeah. But yeah, the X-Jimmy Aura 2 or Aura whatever. I want to say it was 2 is what I read initially, but it doesn't say anything about the 2 in the Amazon deal I just looked up. But I've had that for, I guess I've had that projector at about a year now, and it's still working really well. It is still fantastic. I mean, it's still very much like I'm going into the movies. Then again, but you know, the movie theater has a much better sound system. A much, much better sound system. I do need to like mention to my buddy Rob, like, hey, you know, because he's like, he really wants to go see Evil Dead. I guess his wife doesn't want to go with him. But he knows I'm a big fan, obviously. I mean, I just got that Ash from Evil Dead 2 bust. And, you know, I feel like I should represent, but I do. That's my one day off this week. I got to do my cleaning and all that shit. Laundry and grocery shopping. Kind of don't have the time. And I should offer to him, like, hey, you know, you can come over next week sometime and just watch it on my projector, because it's like going to the movie theater, man. And I've watched Evil Dead 2 on it. It's pretty great. And if you watch it here, you know, it's like you have Ash in the room with you, because got that bust over there. And it does look like very realistic, man. I need to just get a little tape recorder and put just some Bruce Campbell lines on there and just hit play on him. It'll be like he's really in the room with you. Groovy. Hail the King, baby. You know, just whatever. Klaatu Varata. So I maybe didn't say every syllable of the words. If I spoke them pretty much, or whatever he says in Army of Darkness. And of course, he's got to say the words Klaatu Varata Nikto, I think is the words to unleash, or to be able to safely grab the Necronomicon. And yeah, he didn't say all the words for grabbing it. Which those words are from the old movie, was when... Was it Time Stood Still or what? What is the alien came to Earth? Klaatu Varata Nikto. Klaatu Varata Varata Nikto. Where is the Day the Earth Stood Still? Yeah, from 1951, which they put in Evil Dead. Which, according to the Wikipedia on the Klaatu Varata Nikto, it says Klaatu Varata Nikto is a phrase that originated in the 51 science fiction film The Day the Earth Stood Still. The humanoid alien protagonist of the film, Klaatu, instructs Helen Benson that if any harm befalls him, she must say the phrase to the robot Gort. The Robot Hall of Fame describes the phrase as one of the most famous commands in science fiction, and Frederick S. Clark of Cinefantastique called it the most famous phrase ever spoken by an extraterrestrial. I cannot speak. My tongue is not working. And then usage in film here says Edwin H. North, who wrote The Day the Earth Stood Still, also created the alien language used in the film, including the phrase Klaatu Barata Nikto. The official spelling of the phrase comes directly from the script. The phrase was never translated in the film, and neither Edmund North nor 20th Century Fox ever released an official translation. But the alien's name was Klaatu, so... So he's saying Klaatu Barata Nikto. Near the end of the film, as Klaatu is pursued by the U.S. Armed Forces, he urges Helen Benson to memorize the phrase, saying there's no limit to what he can do. He could destroy the Earth. If anything should happen to me, you must go to Gort. Great name. Gort. You must say these words, Klaatu Barata Nikto. Please repeat that. Klaatu Barata Nikto. Which you're saying it to Gort. So is he saying that... like, hey, Klaatu says, don't kill Earth. Is that what he's basically saying? Shortly after Klaatu was shot and killed, knowing that Klaatu has died, Gort vaporized the polymer cube encasing him and kills the two soldiers standing guard. Helen conveys Klaatu's message. Gort takes her inside the spaceship and then retrieves Klaatu's lifeless body, which he revives. In the 2008 remake, the line was added at Keanu Reeves' insistence. Klaatu uses it near the beginning of the film to shut down Gort. And again at the end, highly distorted and barely audible when he stops the destruction of Earth. Of course they have to have that in the fucking remake. Dude, it's... That was a debate. They were going to not have Klaatu Barata Nikto. What the fuck? I don't think I ever watched the remake. I've seen the original, but like when I was a kid, so I don't really remember it very well. Let's see here. Pop culture references in the 83 film Return of the Jedi. I think I've heard of that one. One of the Jabba the Hutt's employees is Barata, a member of the Klaatunian species, both the character and the species being references to the phrase. In the Star Wars universe, there is also a species called Nikto. Another Jabba the Hutt's employees is a character named Klaatu, himself a member of the Nikto species. In the 1984 stage play The Foreigner, the lead character is Charlie Baker, a science fiction proofreader on holiday. He mentions the phrase early in the play, and then during the climactic confrontation makes use of it as a way to sound otherworldly and threatening. And here's one. Ooh, this is a good one. In the 1987 animated series episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles titled Invasion of the Turtle Snatchers, Donatello meets an alien family with a father's name Klaatu, mother Barata, and son Nikto. And then, of course, in 1992, the film Army of Darkness, Ash Williams must correctly recite the phrase in order to safely retrieve the Necronomicon. Later in the film, he must precisely recite it again to travel back to his time period. Both times, the pronunciation was mangled and resulted in unexpected outcomes. And then, there's a few other ones. Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi one with Tobey Maguire. In 2004, the video game. In the 2004 video game, Spider-Man 2, based on the movie of the same name, Mysterio, who is in this interpretation of the villain, portrays himself as an alien in the style of 1950s B-movies, such as The Day the Earth Stood Still, cryptically utters the phrase, Klaatu Barata Nikto, as a hologram of Mysterio watches over Spider-Man, rescuing civilians from a burning theater. Simultaneously referencing the original movie and Sam Raimi's Army of Darkness, as Raimi also directed Spider-Man 2. I need to go back and I need to go on a deep dive on some of the Raimi films in general. I've been seeing the movie poster for Darkman, the Liam Neeson led like horror superhero. Basically, a film where Liam Neeson gets like mangled in a lab experiment thing. His face gets all fucked up. It's very Phantom of the Opera. I remember watching it many a times as a child. enjoying it. But then he gets like, basically he's turned into a superhero, puts like these masks over his face, but they like, melt over a certain time period. And, of course, that's a fun movie. I need to go back and watch that. Sam Raimi directed that one. And, I like the Drag Me to Hell, the Justin Long movie. And I forget the lead actress's name in that one. But Drag Me to Hell, I haven't seen in many years. That came out, I want to say around 2013 or so-ish. maybe it was even earlier than that. Let's ask the IMDb's. Drag Me to Hell. Is on there. 2009, it was even before then. The female lead, which she had, I think, a bigger part than Justin Long, but it was Alison Lohman. Great fucking Sam Raimi movie. Wrote it with his brother, Ivan Raimi, which they have a little introduction to Bruce Campbell's book, If Chins Could Kill. But that, I remember being a solid film. I've got it on Blu-ray, if I remember correctly. That Drag Me to Hell is worth a watch. Oh, man. I'm looking at pictures to help jog my memory of Drag Me to Hell. Oh, there's the gypsy lady that puts the curse. I think that starts it all. It's been many years since I've watched this, as now the film's getting close to 20 years old. But, man, great film, Drag Me to Hell. Sam Raimi's made some bangers, and it does seem like in the vein, if you will, of Evil Dead. Kind of, I don't think it's in that universe, but seems like it could easily be. Could easily throw a Necronomicon in there, have that, you know, be involved somehow. But I think the caffeine is starting to wear off. It's like I think I just hit mile 20 of the marathon, and I'm starting to hit the wall. My energy's, I'm going to have to do some walking here. I'm going to have to do some walking and just like go like, okay, when I get to that sign over there, then I'll run a little bit. And then when I hit the tree after that sign, I'll go back to walking a little bit. And then just keep doing this until mile 26. Maybe that last mile, try to run most of that. That'll work, right? For 13 minutes. 13 minutes at the end of a marathon. That's, you're lucky to get a mile at that. That'd be like, that's like 3/4 of a mile. That last... Although, usually the last mile, I kick it up a little bit, and like I'm able to run. You know, I can probably do the last mile, like 10-minute something range. Whereas, I haven't done a marathon in many years, but, you know, the first half, I would, you know, be in like the 8-something-minute mile range. My fastest one I was doing in the low 7-minute range for the first half, but I was injured before I started the race. And I was in too much pain by the second half, and I walked the majority of the second half, but still managed to get under 4 hours in a marathon, which is still the fastest I've ever done a marathon. It's sad that I've never been able to get back to as good a shape as I was back then. It's probably not going to happen, but, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll win the Powerball tonight, and I'll be able to not have to work a full-time job, you know, or at least a really physical full-time job. And then I could just work on me for a little bit. Work on me. Get the body back to running on its best ability as it can at this point. As I am approaching half a century in age, so... Gotta keep that in mind, that, you know, I'm past my prime is what I'm getting at. So far, I mentioned, I guess a couple months ago now, I did finally cave into the ads I was seeing for Hims, the hair loss pills. And they say it takes like 2 to 3 months to really start seeing new hair growth. And I think coming up on 2 months at this moment. I haven't seen a lot of like new hair. I think like in the front of my head, I'm starting to see some new hair growth. But definitely in my baboon's ass, like the back of my head where I got the real big bald spot, I haven't noticed as much, or if any. I don't know. It's hard to really tell at this point. I'm definitely still bald on top. Or got a good bald. I'm not... I still haven't brought myself down to a level to where I'm going to do a comb over. I think I look decent with the bald head. You know, I could rock shaving it off and be fine, just other than the fact that I hate spending all the time shaving my head. And hey, who knows, you know, if, again, somehow I manage to win Powerball or find some other way to make a lot of money that doesn't involve anything illegal. Because I am not a chemistry major. I am not ready to break bad. I don't think I could make the Coca-Cola of meth is what I'm getting at here. Crystal Blue Persuasion. Is going to be created by these hands. But how would I know if I could, that my meth would be shit if I've never tried. You know, I remember working in restaurants. I haven't worked in a restaurant since I was 20, but I worked in restaurants for several years when I was 15 to like 20. Basically, I was working in restaurants. And I got really good at making hollandaise sauce, which I only made in restaurants. I never attempted to do that at home, but it was like a whole process. And I don't know, I really enjoyed the process of making it, because you'd have to have like a large mixing bowl and then like just keep beating the eggs and then put it over heat, continue to just beat it while you'd put it on over the heat, take it off the heat, and just keep like repeating the process. And, you know, I don't even think I ever really fucking ate the hollandaise. Maybe I did. I probably did, but I don't. People seem to enjoy it when I made it. And I don't know, I enjoyed the process of it, which is odd because, well, I don't know, when I cooked in restaurants, I started out doing dishes. I did some busing. When I made pastas and got to use the gas stove for that, the gas burners, I don't know, I liked making the pastas and be able to like flip them in the pan and shit. At home, I don't like to do that. don't like to like cook stuff like that. Though I still remember how I made Alfredo from scratch like that. But it was at the restaurant, it was way easier to do because you had all the supplies there all the time. I didn't have to, you know, go to the store and buy what I needed. And then I don't have a gas stove here, so making the pasta is a little bit more difficult at home. And I, when I'm at home, I don't really feel like cooking. It's just like, that's time consuming. let's go easy here so I can have more time for whatever. I don't want to shave my head and I don't want to cook. That's what I'm getting at. There's just not enough time, you know, in one's life. You gotta prioritize things. A little bit, because you never know how much you have left. And like, do you want to spend it all shitting on the toilet? Or which I find my shitting time, which has increased as I've gotten older, that is tends to be, now that I live alone, you know, I started back at Jackman's. I would like pull up YouTube videos, but they could hear me like if they were in their bedroom, because the bathroom was right there, so I'd have to stop watching like YouTube videos while I was on the shitter. But I living alone, I watch a lot of YouTube on the shitter and or Disney Plus. I've been watching, you know, trying to go through all the X-Files. I'm on season 4 right now. And I don't strictly watch that one in the toilet. I watch that a lot of times while I'm just passing out at nighttime because I've seen it before. It's just been, you know, several years since I've watched all of the X-Files. But season four is when you start really getting the in-depth into, like, the conspiracy behind it all. Where you was it season three or season four? I want to say it was season four when you get the Cancer Man episode and get his whole backstory. The cigarette-smoking man. And, yeah. But I've really digressed a lot tonight. Oh, man. I'm looking forward to, you know, the holiday weekend. We got the 4th of July coming up, and I will have a three-day weekend for that. So if I can just manage to hold on till then... I will have 3 days off yet again and be able to, you know, hopefully get out and do some stuff. Maybe do some climbing or whatnot. Muffin Man's birthday is the day after the 4th of July, so. I want to say the 4th of July is a Saturday, and then, yeah. So I'm off that Friday. Won't be going back until the Monday. But I'm already looking forward to hockey season starting again, even though, you know, it's still going on at this moment because there's at least one more game left in the Stanley Cup Finals, which the Vegas Knights are down 3-2 against the Carolina Hurricanes, which I really thought before this last game that, which has been a very entertaining series. I thought Vegas was... really the more dominant team, but then this last game, Carolina really, you know, I think Vegas scored the first goal. I didn't watch it from the start, but they ended up winning 4-2, and it was pretty much Carolina all game. That's other than that game, the series has been very evenly tied as the scores have gone back and forth. They've had, one game that went to double overtime? Again, very entertaining series. I've been way more pleased with that than seeing Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers yet again in the Stanley Cup Finals. And especially last season, man, that was, like, Edmonton didn't seem like they... it was rough. But that I recall, I didn't really watch much of those games. I was hoping that Edmonton would beat Florida, but of course that didn't happen. I guess I'm rooting for the Vegas Knights. Shelley is, you know, a fan of the Vegas Knights because he, of course, lived there for, 2 years, was it? And he did go to the Vegas Knights game in the playoffs when they played Anaheim. It was like game two or so. Game one or two, whichever it was. He got to experience hockey in Vegas. And he said the arena there is fucking massive, where the rink is. That's T-Mobile Arena, I think, is that one. Maybe I'm wrong in that. Where are the Vegas, the VGK, which I find that annoying, even though I just use the term when watching games and they go the VGK, just call them the Knights, the Vegas Knights or Vegas. Why VGK? When the Blues are playing, I don't think anybody, which I guess I'd have to really go back and watch a game, but I don't think anybody goes, STL is coming at you. STL's got the puck. And they're looking to take the lead. Watch out for the STL. They are tough on the boards. The STL will fuck you up. maybe they do. I'd have to, you know, again, I'd have to go back and watch that. Pretty sure that's not the case, though. pretty sure. Yeah, I guess I'd like to see the Knights win it. They've got a chance to, you know, even the series up on Sunday, tomorrow. And if that happens, you know, we got one more game. It's a game seven. There's nothing sweeter than, like, in the finals than, like, going to a game seven. And those games are fucking exciting. It wouldn't be as exciting for me to, you know, watch the Blues in the Cup. And when that was in game seven, which is, it has been 7 years now since they won the Cup. A lot of sevens. So I feel like, you know what, Vegas is going to bring that game seven because they have Ivan Barbashev, who was one of the players for the Blues on that Stanley Cup winning team. And they did have Alex Pietrangelo, but he's retired now. He is, of course, the Blues captain when they won the Cup and then went on to Vegas as, I want to say they had maybe even one or two other players at one point, but Barbashev's the only one I'm currently aware of that was on the Blues for the Cup team. But he's scored some goals during the playoffs and stuff, so he's been productive. Yeah, but I'm looking forward for hockey season to start up again because that's, you know, by the time that usually work starts slowing down again. And that and work just, it's easier to weld when it's cooler out. And it's not 100 degrees inside, you know, where we're working, or 90 plus, what have you. But, yeah, that caffeine has left my body. It is.
Time is slowing down.
What the hell? Having a hard time keeping my body awake. Stay awake. I need those no-dose pills from Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors. Nancy Thomas, hook me up. Nancy Thompson. God damn it. Nancy Thompson, hook me up. You know, I was thinking, which I don't even want to fucking ask. Of course, I got that really sweet bust of Ash. But I am, you know, my favorite horror film, it's got to still be the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I fucking love that movie. Robert Englund is so fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I love Mr. Bruce Campbell and Evil Dead. But yeah, I'm not seeing a. There's. I don't see a bust of Nancy, but I see, like, you know, sculptures of her in the bathtub with Freddy's hand coming up. But I would, like, if I were to get, like, another bust to have, like, a life-size bust, I would want the Nancy Thompson, the bust of her with the gray streak in her hair and holding the phone with Mr. Fred Krueger saying, "I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy." Yeah, I would want that as a bust. And of course, having Freddy's tongue come out of the bust. I think that's where it's at. As I love Nancy Thompson. I mean, I love the original Nightmare on Elm Street. And she's one of the best final girls of all time. And, of course, we did get her in two other films, that being Heather Langenkamp, I guess, because, you know, she plays Nancy Thompson once again in Part 3, Dream Warriors, but then would play herself, Heather Langenkamp, in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which was another fine film, which I don't think I watched that one in the theater. Maybe I did. I think I watched that on video. We rented it. I want to say I was sick one day from school and just watched that for the first time. The Freddy's Dead is the only one I really remember actually watching at the movie theater and got to watch with the 3D glasses, which you can't do that. And pretty much any of the releases they've had for home video, there's like one box set or something, and there, I've read that there's ways to get one a copy where you can actually watch part of that movie in 3D, of course, because it's only the final battle with Freddy that you get to put on the glasses and see the 3D effect. As I feel like I've really been just kind of jumping over all over the place in this podcast, but I think this is about all I've got. Is again, my energy is gone. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.